This is Colorado Matters from CPR News. I'm Ryan Warner. Tens of millions of dollars are flowing into Colorado's elections this year, and the identities of those backing some of the most aggressive ads remain secret. But they shouldn't, says the incoming chairwoman of the Federal Election Commission, Ann Ravel. Since 2013, she's been vice chair, and she visited our studio after taking part in a forum on money and politics at CU Denver earlier this month. And thank you for being with us.
Thank you very much, Ryan, for inviting me.
In April, you wrote an opinion piece in the New York Times, and your first line was a grabber. Quote, "The Federal Election Commission is failing to enforce the nation's campaign finance laws." That's a very serious allegation. Tell us what drove you to write that.
I had come to the Federal Election Commission from the California Fair Political Practices Commission, which has essentially the same mandate, which is to provide disclosure to the public and enforce campaign laws. And unfortunately, the Federal Election Commission is so divided, and there's been a logjam there for so many years that very little enforcement has been done.
So disclosure is your major concern. Give us some examples of where you think disclosure is a problem and enforcement of it perhaps has fallen short.
I think disclosure is a major problem in this country now in campaigns with 501c4 organizations that do what I consider and most people would consider to be communications about politics, but they will not disclose their donors. And the public, I believe, has a right to know who is behind campaigns. That's basic. And that's a basic principle of the FEC. That's why we were established. So the example that I cited in the New York Times article was a case relating to Crossroads GPS, which had engaged in a large number of communications that were politically related in the 2010 election.
And is also, I should say, playing a major role in campaigning in this state. This is the nonprofit founded by former President George W. Bush's advisor, Karl Rove. And Crossroads has spent about $10 million so far on TV ads in Colorado at this election, wanting to unseat Democratic Senator Mark Udall in his race against Republican Representative Cory Gardner. And the FEC is actually being sued by a group called ProtectOurElections.org over this issue. Is that right?
Yes. We've had a number of suits that relate to the failure of the commission to act in this arena.
And what exactly do you think is the transgression? Is it that the Federal Election Commission has not voted to move forward with investigations? What is it that you criticize the commission for?
Yes. Our standard for finding cause is a very low one, and it is just to move forward with an investigation. It is not to find that the 501c4 or any other organization did something improper. It is not like a criminal law standard in any way, nor does it have to do with the penalty. It's just to find out the facts. And what is frustrating is that we cannot get four votes of commissioners who want to just find out the facts when our general counsel has said there is sufficient information on the public record that would cause any person, given our standard, to try to investigate it.
Let me say that the FEC is made up of six members, and no more than three can come from the Democratic Party, no more than three can be Republicans. Right now, it's three Democrats and three Republicans. And lest people think that you are purely politically motivated here, you have also expressed some concern about a lack of investigation into a Democratic group that might have been coordinating with a Democratic congressional campaign. Is that right?
Correct. This is not politically motivated at all. I call this more ideological than political because it's true on both sides. There is a group opposed to any investigations, and then there is a group that believes that we need to follow the law.
And what do you think explains the ideological deadlock?
It's hard to say, but it seems that the FEC is emulating the deadlock in Congress.
You think it's a reflection of, in many ways, our national politics?
I think so.
I want to say that your colleague Lee Goodman, who is the current chairman of the FEC, along with the two other fellow Republicans on the commission, admonished you strongly in a letter for your stand on Crossroads. They say your highly public desire to push an investigation contravened longstanding decorum and legal practice at the FEC. What's your response to that?
The FEC is a public agency, and we owe an obligation to the public. And unfortunately, most people across this country have no idea what the FEC does, if anything. And yet the work we do is essential to our democracy. And so I believe that it's my obligation as a commissioner to inform the public about what is happening at an agency that is meant to follow the law and represent the interests of the entire United States.
And in this case, to go publicly with your concerns.
Correct.
So let me ask you about what role Citizens United, the very well-known U.S. Supreme Court decision, plays into this whole question. The rest of the case of Citizens United is called Citizens United versus the FEC, the Federal Elections Commission, which,
right.
which lost the case. And the ruling, of course, was to say that there could be unrestricted independent political expenditures by nonprofits, labor unions, other groups. How much is Citizens United playing into this, do you think?
I think the impact of Citizens United is that there is a proliferation of this dark money now. There are more of the 501c4s that are entering into the political arena.
These have often been called social welfare.
Social, yes. And willing to spend money but not to disclose who is contributing to them. That's been the impact. But that is not a Citizens United impact because we have to remember that in Citizens United, when the court said you could have these contributions from corporations and other organizations, unions, they said explicitly, in fact, it was eight justices who signed on to this, that a way to mitigate the problem is disclosure.
And so in a way, you feel that your mandate at the FEC is perhaps even bigger, even more important in the wake of that decision?
Absolutely, it is. It's our obligation to tell the American public who is contributing to campaigns. That's one of the essential purposes of the FEC, and it has been upheld not only by Citizens United, but also McCutcheon after.
A later ruling from the U.S. Supreme Court. Tell me this. Has there been an investigation you all have voted to approve that you think represents the FEC acting correctly?
Well, there are some that we have voted to approve, but most of those are for minor transgressions, reporting errors and the like, and people essentially receive a slap on the hand. And not that it's not important to enforce the laws as they're written, but for me, what is important is that we look at the matters that go to the heart of our democracy and not some of the less important matters.
And let's go back to this fundamental question of disclosure. You are basically saying, listen, we can't control how much money flows into campaigns, but we can have some say over how transparent that money is. Why is that important? What does it mean to a voter to know that million was given by that group and that 500,000 was given by that? I mean, in the end, doesn't it just come down to an informed voter getting in the booth and making his or her decision?
Well, I think that essentially knowing who's behind campaigns does help inform the voters. Everybody's busy. It's hard for people who have two jobs and children to take care of to get into depth in a lot of the positions either on ballot measures, which I understand there are a number of them in Colorado.
There tend to be.
Yes. Or, and I'm from California, so I understand that. Or for candidates, voting cues of party or of who's supporting a measure or a candidate are really significant ways for people to understand that they can vote in a way that is consistent with their views. And that's why it's important. People have to know.
Sorry. A kind of shorthand, if you yes. will, for a busy voter.
Yes, it is. And there have been some studies on this by political scientists, and they have found that there's consistency in voting with people who just vote based on voting cues versus people who are much more informed about all of the positions. Those people will always vote consistently with their views based on either one of those ways. There's not a lot of difference. So it's really important for people to know these things. And it may not be important. I know a lot of people raise, and not to preempt your questioning, but I know a lot of people raise the issue of sort of invasion of privacy and the like about disclosure.
And this is a claim from the social welfare groups as well.
That's right. Yeah. And that may have some validity for knowing how much your neighbor, if your neighbor gave, you know, $25 or $100 to something and you're just interested in it for your own, you know,
prurient reasons.
Exactly. But when people are giving hundreds of thousands of dollars to a campaign, people have a right to know that.
Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you very much for inviting me. I appreciate it.
Ann Ravel is a member of the Bipartisan Federal Election Commission. She's a Democrat and will be the FEC's next chairwoman. The current chairman, Republican Lee Goodman, declined our invitation to speak. We then reached out to two other Republicans on the commission, and our calls went unanswered. So coming up, we'll hear from Scott Gessler, Colorado's Republican Secretary of State, who oversees elections. This is Colorado Matters from CPR News. You're back with Colorado Matters from CPR News. I'm Ryan Warner. Before the break, we heard a stinging criticism of the Federal Election Commission from one of its members, Democrat Ann Ravel. She thinks with so much money flowing into politics these days, disclosure is more important than ever. The FEC's Republican chairman declined our invitation to speak, as did the commission's other Republican members. So for another perspective, let's hear from Colorado's outgoing Secretary of State, Republican Scott Gessler. He joined us from his office. Secretary, welcome back to the program.
Well, thanks for having me on.
In 2012, you made changes to state campaign finance laws, reducing or doing away with disclosure requirements for many kinds of political groups, among other changes. It went to the courts, and last year you lost. Since then, there have been other challenges that have affected the state. We'll get to those court challenges. But first, give me your philosophy about how or if money in politics should be regulated, disclosed, etc.
You know, as Secretary of State, my first and foremost philosophy is that you want to interpret the law in a constitutional manner. So the changes that we made were basically following court guidance to provide clarity to people who want to politically speak out, and also to follow federal law, the U.S. Constitution, First Amendment, as interpreted by federal courts. So the Colorado courts prohibited me from doing that. They basically said I have to enforce the law exactly as written, even knowing that it's being enforced in an unconstitutional manner. And so there have been continued lawsuits in federal court saying that we're being treated unconstitutionally. People have said that. And they've been winning. So I've got sued on one end and sued on the other end. And unfortunately, Colorado law right now is a mess. And my first and foremost philosophy is that when people are involved in politics, in modern society, people need to be able to spend money to have a voice. That's just the way it is. I mean, we can talk about the soapbox, but if you go out on the main mall on a soapbox and start yelling your political views, you're more likely to be arrested for vagrancy than you are listened to. And so people need to, they either run advertisements or they put ads in paper or they spend money printing off flyers and distributing them and yard signs. And the bottom line is, this is political speech, which is one of the most sacred things that we have in not only our Constitution but in our society, the ability to speak out. The second thing is,
yeah,
I think these laws are way too complex. They're exceedingly complex. We have candidates who frequently, they'll miss a few deadlines through negligence because of the complexity, and all of a sudden they're facing very steep fines. And one of the things I did was I rationalized the fine waiver process, because we had people who had raised, you know, maybe $1,000 or $2,000, had then shut down their committees, or they thought they did, and they were all of a sudden facing $100,000 and more in fines. And a state collection agency then wants to take away their house because they ran for office and raised $1,000. So that's a problem, is the complexity of this. The other thing you see is, you know, the very rich and well-financed groups, they're the ones who can hire attorneys. They're the ones who can hire accountants to be able to navigate this morass of difficult, conflicting, and ambiguous laws. Grassroots groups, on the other hand, the ones who spend less amounts of money, the ones who have a lot of volunteers working for them and aren't professionals in this particular area, the ones who can't afford to hire attorneys, they're the ones who get just plain old chewed up by these campaign finance laws. And I have seen this over and over again.
Let me ask you another philosophical question. We spoke with Ann Ravel, who is soon to be the chairwoman of the Federal Election Commission. And her thought is that as more money flows into politics, in part because of Citizens United, for instance, the importance of transparency, the importance of knowing where that money is coming from, increases. Do you agree fundamentally with that premise?
Well, I think there's value in that level of disclosure. I agree with that part of it. But here's the other thing. People decry money in politics, but the question is, what is that money used for? Well, the money is used to communicate ideas. It's a measurement of the level of ideas that are out there. The more ideas we have out there, the more people who are talking about politics, the more people who are involved and paying attention, the better it is.
I don't think she'd dispute that. I think what she'd say is it's so important to know who the idea is coming from.
Well, there is some importance on that, but I don't think that's an absolute value. Look, the flip side of that is twofold. One is our campaigns are far nastier. And the reason they're nastier is because it lends itself to ad hominem attacks. Instead of talking about ideas, you're attacking people. You're attacking personally the ones who are behind them. The people on the left attack the Kochs, the Koch brothers, all the time. They try and hold them up and demonize them. And the people on the right, you know, they'll attack George Soros or now in Colorado, Tom Steyer, the environmentalists. They'll attack them personally. And so it's becomes less about ideas and more about personal attacks. Now, there's value in that, but it also creates a nastier campaign. The other thing I think people don't pay attention to as much is how it has those personal attacks have a chilling effect, and they tend to dissuade others from being involved in politics. The way I look at it ultimately is, you know, for large dollar amounts, I think that makes sense to have a lot of transparency. But in Colorado, for example, let me ask you, is it really critically important that we know who contributed $20 to a candidate?
Which is actually very, very similar to what Ann Ravel told us, that at the larger end, it seems more important to her that there be transparency.
Yeah, and I think that's fair.
Citizens United, so the conservative nonprofit that won the controversial campaign finance case before the Supreme Court 4 years ago, is making news again. Earlier this month, the group got a green light from Denver's Federal Appeals Court for its film plans in Colorado. And let's listen to some of the trailer.
If you think you know Colorado, think again.
A cake shop owner in Colorado now facing jail time after he refused to bake a cake for a same-sex wedding.
They made new rules. They changed the rules. And then they exploited those rules. There's a war going on.
They want to tell me what doctor I can go to, what health plan I can have. That is the war on women.
They have passed legislation that has been anti-gun, anti-family, anti-energy development.
Citizens United Productions presents...
The College Transforming the United States of America.
Rocky Mountain Heist.
Citizens United, which is based in Virginia, is focusing in this film on, you know, what backers say is a liberal takeover in Colorado. Colorado's campaign finance laws require that the film's backers be disclosed, and you defended the state laws and lost the case. Citizens United argued successfully that it is a media organization and doesn't have to follow those disclosure rules. What is your take on the ruling? I guess already having told us that you think campaign finance laws are a mess here.
Well, I expected that ruling, to be honest with you. I mean, we, of course, defended the law, but I expected Citizens United would likely win. Because remember how I told you earlier that Colorado's campaign finance laws are so complex? Well, what winds up happening is media organizations, which are generally, well, they used to be very wealthy, but they're still pretty powerful media corporations. They have a green light to do whatever they want from a campaign finance standpoint, and others don't. And that line between who's a media corporation that can do this and the ones who can't do this is frankly become very blurry with the internet and different forms of communications and things like that. And so what Citizens United argued was sort of along the lines of an equal protection complaint, which was, you know, well, if the Denver Post can do all of this stuff, why can't we? And there's something to be said for the fact that media corporations get these huge exemptions from campaign finance laws while the rest of us don't.
Let me ask you, do you see a difference between the Denver Post and Citizens United?
Of course, there's always differences. But really the question is, should they be treated differently for First Amendment purposes? Do you have to own a printing press before you're able to avoid all disclosures or not? And I mean, I think those are important constitutional questions, and you're going to be seeing a lot more litigation along these lines.
There's a lesser-known court ruling also issued this month. U.S. District Court Judge John Kane found that a nonprofit called the Coalition for Secular Government did not have to disclose funding to finance and distribute an issue paper opposing Amendment 67 on the ballot, the personhood proposal. The group's leaders call the state's election laws Byzantine. They agree with you on that one. And they're claiming they won a victory for freedom of speech. Your office was, again, on the losing end of that court ruling. What do you think it means for the future of election laws here?
Yeah, so here's what's going on. You know, the court several years ago, federal court, a court of appeals, said, look, you really can't regulate these small groups. And so I passed a rule saying that. Then the Colorado Supreme Court struck that rule down. And now these small groups are suing me, saying, you can't regulate us. And I'm saying, well, the Supreme Court says I have to regulate you. And now the federal courts are saying you can't do it. So I'm sort of, it's interesting, I'm sort of stuck in the middle, I guess you could say. You know, the fact of the matter is that I think the Coalition for Secular Government made a very strong case that they are a, you know, they're a small organization. I think they spent about, or want to spend about $3,500 statewide. And it's, I think by all accounts, truly a grassroots group. And yes, we did lose. It was a pretty convincing loss. Unfortunately, every small group like Coalition for Secular Government, in order to be treated the same way, they're going to have to continue to file lawsuits in the future. I don't think that's a good way to run a railroad, where every time you want clarity, you have to file a federal lawsuit.
And it's likely that these kinds of cases will come both from the left and the right, as we're seeing here.
Yeah, I don't think there's an ideological line of separation. I think people on the left and the people on the right both want to get their ideas out because it's so important. It's how we define ourselves and govern ourselves as a society.
Secretary Gessler, thanks for your time.
Well, thank you very much.
Republican Scott Gessler is Colorado's outgoing Secretary of State. He joined us from his office. Earlier, we heard from Democrat Ann Ravel, member of the Federal Election Commission. This is Colorado Matters from CPR News.